it is, I'm going to do it in 5 points. I'm going to preach the entire Bible. Contents of the Bible. In the Old Testament, we have preparation for His coming. He's coming. That's what He said in the Old Testament. Old Testament, all about Him coming. Number two, in the Gospels, we have the presentation. He has come. He is here. Amen. Then in the book of the Acts, we have proclamation, the message of the gospel of His grace and salvation. And then number four, in the epistles, we have personification. For me to live is Christ. Amen. And so then, number five, and we had good Sunday school lesson this morning. In the book of the Revelation, we have predomination, the Lamb on the throne. Yes, the whole book, the whole Bible is about Him. Amen? So, there it is in 5 points. You tell the pastor when he gets home now, said Brother Brown, Sunday morning, preach to us the entire Bible. Amen. All right, John chapter number 8, I want to begin in verse number 30. And I know it's a little lengthy, but I want to read, it's important that I read down to verse number, through verse number 47. And I want to preach this morning on this subject, Abraham in the New Testament. Abraham in the New Testament. Verse number 30 says this, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now notice, he is classifying these that believed on him. He said, many believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and notice how they're putting this, we were never in bondage to any man. They ain't never been such a lie told, is that right there? How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? What are we doing? We don't need to be free. No, they just been in bondage most of their life. You know, it's awful when a person is lost and without God and won't admit it. And you know, and I know, until they get lost, they can never be saved. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Notice the contrast that is being given here. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. I'm willing. I'm saying to you, I believe this. You are Abraham's seed. But here's what I don't understand. Ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do. Now I'm speaking and you're doing. and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Now, what did he just say to them? I'm not your father. You got another father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, now he's casting doubt, is he not, on what they're saying. If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Why aren't you doing the works of Abraham? But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now he's identifying who their father is. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. And by the way, everybody that loves Jesus loves God, or vice versa. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. How do we receive his word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God, please pay careful attention to these words. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. I'm talking about Abraham, not in the Old Testament. Abraham is an Old Testament character. He is absolutely the very first Jew that is pronounced to be a Jew by God himself. And we usually, when we hear about Abraham, we hear about him generally from a message of the Old Testament. And when you hear Abraham's name mentioned, you cannot mention his name without linking his name with faith. You cannot mention his name without him being the father of the Jews. You cannot mention his name without thinking about his son Isaac that he offered as a sacrifice. You said, yeah, but he did. He did. As far as God was concerned, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice in the Old Testament. There's only one other character mentioned in, carried over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that is mentioned more times than Abraham, and his name is Moses. Moses is mentioned in our New Testament, referred to here, 79 times in the New Testament, while Moses is mentioned only 70 times in the New Testament. And so there are, I just want to give you these things so you can write them down. This is 9 different sermons that God showed me from this passage of Scripture. But where we are in John chapter number 8, we see Abraham and the greatest privilege. And then secondly, also found right after this that we're using this morning in the 8th chapter of John, we see Abraham and the greatest person, which being the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, if you'll turn to Romans chapter number 4, and you will find Abraham and the greatest principle. And then in the fourth thing, we'll see in James chapter number 2, I like to preach these two together, Romans 4 and James chapter number 2, because in James chapter 2, we have Abraham and the greatest proof. And then in Hebrews chapter number 6, Abraham is mentioned, Abraham and the greatest promise. And then Hebrews chapter number 7, we have Abraham and the greatest priesthood. And then the 7th thing is found in Luke chapter number 16, and this Abraham and the greatest partition. And then Matthew 22, the 8th thing is Abraham and the greatest power. And then the 9th thing is found in Hebrews chapter number 11, and Abraham and the greatest place. These are all of the times that Abraham is mentioned during those 70 times in the New Testament. Now, if you would look with me at the 36th verse, notice he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so in this passage, Abraham is mentioned by name, in the 8th chapter here, he's mentioned by name here from 33 to 40, and he's mentioned 6 times here. And so the Lord Jesus Christ impresses on us that it is possible to be a descendant of Abraham, listen to me, physically, but not be a descendant of Abraham spiritually. You understand? He uses two different things here. He's talking about Abraham in a physical way, but then he also talks about Abraham in a spiritual way. In other words, there are those that are physically descendants of Abraham that are still a slave to sin. I call people that the Jews that are saved, I call them completed Jews. And there are some completed Jews. There are some Jews that believe, and Abraham is their father, but Jesus is also their father. They are a completed Jew. And so there are those that are a child of Satan, and only the Son of God can give freedom, can free you, can free them. A Jew that is not born again, some people have the idea that they're God's people and they're going to heaven. They are not. No one is going to God's heaven that has not had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to them. So first of all, only Jesus can give us that freedom. Now, first of all, look at verse number 30, and he starts out here with the message of the Savior. Notice we emphasize that as we read that, notice many, in verse number 30, many believed on him. Well, what does that indicate, Brother Benjamin? That indicates that some did not. He said many believed on him, but he's indicating here not everybody did believe on him. In anybody's church, and I don't care whose church it is, we have those who believe. In anybody's church, we have those that do not believe. And in anybody's church, are you listening to me well? We have many that are make-believers. Jesus had him himself. One of them's name was Judas. He was a follower of Jesus, but he was a pretender. He was a make-believer. He was not a saved individual. He never was saved and got lost after he was saved. He never was saved to begin with. But not all of them were saved. Look at verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now he qualifies them here. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now there's such a thing as being a disciple and then being a disciple indeed. He says it right here. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now looking at these two phrases, disciples indeed, and those who are free, teaches us that the true evidence of faith is when one continues to practice the Word of God that the Word of God teaches. In other words, that gives evidence. Now, I know I'm not the one to do the doubting, but I'm sorry I do. And I said to my wife just recently, I said, I'm getting tired of praying for non-Christians to be Christians. Do you ever think about it like that? I spend my time praying for people to get in church that ain't ever been saved yet. But I do that because sometime or another they told me they were. And when they tell me they are, I expect them to be saved. I expect them to continue to practice the Word of God. I don't think we ought to have to hire the FBI to go find people to come to our church that's supposed to got saved here at our church. Amen. We'll get on with this. So anyway, and so evidently some in their day, not just in my day, Brother Danny, but were believing the facts in the head, but they were not getting them down into their heart to where they had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Often the distance between the head and the heart has not yet been bridged. We have professors of faith that are now not... I got to get it out of my tongue. Possessors of the faith. That's a little hard for me to wrap around sometimes. I get a little tongue-tied every once in a while. What really makes us rejoice, though, is when we see those that have trusted. But it should be, the Bible talks about it in John chapter number 10, as being our duty. Now, you, to answer the truth, we heard this at the fellowship Thursday night, and I'm trying to think of his name now, brother from over here in Hiawassee, Anthony Dye. And he said this, and I've said it many a times myself, and I'm going to admit it. And I want to see if you will. How many times have you ever been to church, not because you wanted to go, but because it was your duty to go? Raise your hand. You ever went out of duty? I think that included everybody. I didn't see. But sometimes I've been to church because I knew it was time to go. I had to. It was my duty to go. And sometimes because I was preaching.
Hey.
Amen. But don't, how much more do I get out of it when I go because I'm excited? Hey. And because I go because it is not my duty, it is my delight to go. And thank God we get to go and we're here and we get to see one another and hear the Word of God and sing the songs of Zion.
Hey.
Now, all of us at whole lot rather go out of our delight. But thank God we do sometimes go anyway out of our duty. But here's the way it ought to be if we continue in the Word of God. In the Word of God. 3 John, number 4, not the fourth chapter, but 3 John 4, notice this verse. It behooves you to look at it and think about it often. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, how many of you have physical children? Would you raise your hand? You have children? Does it bring you joy when your children are walking in faith and practicing the Word of God and winning people to Christ? And does that make you, oh, it makes me smile all over. What do you think that does to God being our heavenly Father? It brings Him joy. And so he goes on to explain the message and the message of freedom in verse number 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever," now circle this please, "committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now circle that word "committeth" and put out beside it that that word is a present participle. It is a present participle indicating the word, saying and indicating to us a continual practice of. That word "committive sin" is a continual practice of sin. Here's what I would do if I were someone that continues to practice that same sin after they make their profession of faith and they continue to practice that sin. I think they'd be good to doubt whether or not they've ever been saved. Huh? Now, it is to be, now no, let's look at it again, "but the Son abideth forever." Now, notice here, a slave to the sin, here's the word for the word "slave." The word for "slave" is doulos. It is a bond slave. It is a person that is controlled not by God, not by the Holy Spirit, but this person is controlled by the evil one. Those who say they're saved yet continue to practice sin are simply doing what? They are giving evidence that they are truly the slave to that sin. And who's over that sin? Certainly not God. And so today, so many believe they are free, and they are free. I'm free. They think it gives them a license to sin, and they are free to do that while they are exhibiting bondage. They're not experiencing liberty. They are exhibiting slavery to that sin. I'll give you a practical illustration if I can. I was preaching at Salem Baptist Church down in Bainbridge, Georgia. Well, at least the county. And the preacher had, I don't know, I might have shared this in another message, but they got gnats in Bainbridge. They got gnat July. I mean, I never. It's hard to get in the church. Brother John O'Neill and his wife were going to sit out in the car and eat a hamburger before church, and the gnats got it. And just took it out of their hands. It is that bad. And I thought about when I preached to get some, what do you call that stuff? This, ear and a nose and especially an eyeball and an ear and lay it right here on the pulpit. Maybe get a whole head and grease it up with stuff and let them get in them eyes and them ears and them noses. Because, I mean, I'd get up and try to preach, and I'm telling you, I sucked them up. I mean, buddy, they will carry you off. So the preacher asked me, said, I got this fan in the vestibule, said, would you mind hooking that up? And I said, no, I'd be glad to. So at the same time, they had a construction crew. I don't know what all they were doing, remodeling on the inside of the church, floors, that kind of thing. And they were working in the church. And so I just joined them, and I went and I said, well, I'll just put the fan up while they're doing that. And you ain't going to believe it. They were smoking cigarettes inside the church. Now, really, I'm about to get in trouble. I'm not the pastor, but I'm about ready to be the pastor and start running some people out of there. And so finally the one, his name was Ricky. That's all I can remember. That's a good thing. And he came out, and I said to him, here's what I said. I said, Ricky, I want to talk to you a minute. He said, all right. I said, I got something. I got someone you need. He said, is that right? Who is it? And I said, Jesus. He said, I got him. Said, man, you talking about me and the man upstairs? Oh, we got it. And so I just said, well, he's done kicked me there. Let me go on. So I said, where do you go to church? He said, well, I don't go to church. I said, you read your Bible? Oh, yeah. So I read my Bible every day. I read it every night. I read it. Yeah, I read it while I'm drinking a six-pack. I said, well, let me ask you this. What do you do with what you read? Isn't it amazing how many people read the Word of God and don't do what it says? Why would you read it if you didn't want to practice it. And I said, well, you tell me, what do you do when you read about what it says about the wine and all this stuff? How did I put that? I'm trying to think of how. What do you do with that? He said, I don't rub it on my stomach. I don't do anything like that. He said, I just drink it. And he didn't go to church. He didn't have a testimony. He didn't have a place where he got saved. And what he does with the Bible, he doesn't practice it at all. He just reads it. And do you know how many people there are like that? Do you know how many people like that may even go to your church? Yeah. They come when they want to come. They give when they want to give. They pray when they feel like praying. They read the Bible when they feel like reading the Bible. And on it goes when God said that we will not continue in that sin. I am different now than I was before I got saved. I trust that you are different now than before you got saved. Now notice with me, verse 35. Two words in this verse. Look at two words here. One is servant and the other is son. And look at the difference that he's calling out between a servant and a son. Here we have now notice with me, and I want to point this out, that we have a general principle. A servant has no guarantee of his position. And let me try to illustrate that. How many of you work for somebody else? You're not working for yourself, but you have a boss. You work for somebody else. There's one there, there's one there. Okay, several of you. Can you guarantee me right now on the Word of God that you'll have your position in the morning? And you, Brother Benjamin, you pray and hope so, but it's hard when you are a servant to guarantee your position. But guess what I can do? I can guarantee my position as a son in the morning. Thank God. A son will not lose that position. He has assurance of that position. But not so unless he's a son. He is guaranteed an abiding place in the house. And when I'm in the house, and when you are in the house, we have a abiding place. We have what? Being in the house, in the Lord's house, we have security. Thank God we have assurance. And so in the context of the passage, it would be that the Lord could be alluding to the two sons that Abraham had. One by his real wife, Sarah, and one by the bond slave, the woman that was given to him that wasn't his wife, that was his concubine by his wife. Genesis 21, you don't have to go there. Abraham's two sons, who were they? They are fighting today. While I'm speaking, they are still fighting. I'm talking about Isaac, and I'm talking about Ishmael. Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, the son of the bond slave, and the one that has been cast out. And Isaac, the one that has position, the one that has security of being secure. Can I say to you, Israel's not going to lose. They are winners. Thank God I'm on the winning side. What is he teaching? The sinner is a slave to the sin and does not have security. He sins because he is a sinner. But thank God you and I that have been saved by the grace of God are free. Should we sin? God forbid. No. Will we? Yes. But thank God it can be covered in just a skinny minute by the blood of Christ. The privileges. Are there any privileges of sonship? Yeah, you're guaranteed to hold your position. Amen. And a son also being a servant. Not just a son in general, not just any son, but notice what he says, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who? The Son of God. His position is secure, not just a son, but the Son. And notice, anyone he makes free is sure of the position in the house of being free indeed. What a privilege, living the truth. How many people do we know that live a lie? They live a lie. But the Son lives the truth. He believes. Because he believes, he belongs. And because we belong, we behave. What a privilege. There's the message of the Savior.